Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants insider, Alex Pavlovich.
All right, Alex here with Ahmed. I am about to head to the winter meetings, but we had to do a pre-winter meetings podcast, which is now an emergency podcast.
Oh.
And you don't know the emergency. The emergency, as the commissioner of our fantasy football league, can you do something about the fact that I got stat corrected out of the playoffs this morning?
I was going to bring this up if you didn't bring it up.
I know, I have to.
And we don't talk about fantasy football a whole lot, but
nobody
because
cares,
Farhan Zaidi is a big fantasy football guy, now we have license to do that. So, Alex, this was the deal. Your team has gotten screwed all year. Like, high point team.
I started 0-6.
With a ton of points. You were
won
scoring
six of the last seven.
You've made a great run, so you've always been scoring a lot of points all year. You made the playoffs, you squeaked in, and then come to find out...
I made the playoffs because Scott Bear lost by 0.02 of a point.
Yes.
On the last play of Monday Night Football.
Yes.
Literally made it on the last play. Was joyful all week, ready to go to Las Vegas, have a good time, cover baseball. Hopefully my fantasy team continues to go. Today, Scott Bear gets one extra yard from Amari Cooper. He wins his matchup by 0.08.
Which is like Thursday.
And gets into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's Thursday.
Insane.
I don't get how they corrected that. Like, they played last Thursday, too. The Cowboys. I don't know
something
what happened.
About the Cowboys. Jerry Jones did something. Scott Bear did something. It's a former Raider who got that yard. I don't know what happened.
It was a bad, but it was a frustrating year for you. Like, said you never wanted to play fantasy football after this year.
I might have to take a break after this.
I would totally
agree. That was like the greatest
agree.
Break I've gotten in 20 years of playing or something like that. And then I wake up today to a text from one of our bosses who goes, "What happened?" I'm like, literally all week I've been adjusting my team and you're in the playoff bracket.
Yeah.
Like looking at the other guy's team. And then I wake up today, I'm in seventh place.
Well, now I have to penalize you as the commissioner because as a team not in the playoffs, you're not supposed to be making those moves. So I'm going to have to retroactively kick you out.
So let's talk about baseball. First, I want to thank Wendy's. They're going to help me get over this like true depression that I'm in today. Wendy's, our sponsor as always. Right now, Wendy's new bacon maple chicken sandwich features juicy chicken, applewood smoked bacon, Swiss cheese, and maple glaze on a croissant bun. This sandwich is sweet, savory, and available all day. Anytime is a good time for breakfast flavors with the bacon maple chicken sandwich at participating Wendy's for a limited time. That sounds like one of the better things they've sent us.
Yeah, I like that one.
Okay, we'll talk baseball. I'll go be depressed after this.
Yeah, don't think about it. Don't think about it.
It's a good night for the holiday party, I'll say that. I asked people for a lot of questions, and we got them.
We did. So first of all, stuff did happen since the last time we talked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess we should.
Gorky's. Did we talk about that last time?
No, your guy's gone.
My guy's
gone.
Are
you okay? Is that worse than my fantasy loss? Was you losing Gorky's?
Yeah. I mean, Gork the vote and the fact that we can't talk about him. Although he is out there and you never know.
He could come back. I was a little surprised by that because he's cheap. Somewhere around 1.5 probably, maybe less, given that the fact that Joe Panik and Sam Dyson signed for a little bit less.
And you don't have a 40-man roster crunch right now either. So
I mean, literally have four outfielders on the 40-man roster.
Yeah.
And Steven Duggar is the closest one to an everyday player, and we're not even sure that Farhan views him as an everyday player.
And Hunter Strickland, non-tendered, that was a surprise to me.
It was, and then I thought back, and I don't know if this popped in your head, when Farhan was talking about what he likes about the Giants – and talked so much about character and about team building and things like that and things he loves about the Giants, I do wonder if Strickland's pass played in a little bit. The velocity's down. The results in the second half were not very good. You can say he was coming off an injury that should heal over the offseason. And still, he was going to be around $2.5 million. But Farhan's not a guy who likes spending on the bullpen historically. They have found ways in Los Angeles to find these random guys who end up being your seventh, eighth inning guy. It hasn't always worked for him.
Right.
So I wasn't too surprised, but I do wonder ultimately with Strickland. I mean, there's, I think a lot of it has been overplayed, but there is a lot of baggage here.
And I think for me, the big thing that I got out of it was that they're pretty confident. Farhan's pretty confident that he can find players out there, that they're going to be able to find a Gorky's replacement, a Hunter Strickland replacement that will be more compatible with the current roster. And so there's definitely, in doing that and not protecting all the guys that you could for your Rule 5 draft and having open spots in your 40-man, there's a level of confidence that comes with that, that you're pretty sure that you can find talent out there. And so that's the main takeaway that I've had. A little maybe surprised about Panic. I thought Panic was a situation where they could save some money. But, you know, he had a bad year last year. So I don't know. I was a little surprised, but it's, you're talking about a team that hasn't been very good the past couple of years, so really nothing should surprise us.
Yeah, it's, I think people have to wipe that out. I mean, it's been bad, and they're going to clean house a little bit. So they have 34 players on the 40-man roster right now. They usually have like 39 this time of year. Usually trying to figure out if they make a move, which random guy in AAA are you getting rid of? So anyway, we will get to the questions. I mean, you go right to it, and it's like people ask about Bumgarner and Harper. But here's one from Jesse. Well, there's two back-to-back. Jesse says, do you think the Phillies would give up Rhys Hoskins and a prospect for Mad Bum, and then like 2 minutes later, 10 minutes later, Sean says, you're an idiot for asking that. Hoskins and Nola are untouchable.
Oh, yeah, so you're on Twitter. Okay,
Twitter's
good.
Well.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this on the last podcast. Like, you look at what was given up for what's
James
his name?
Paxton. Yeah.
And I even think you look at the Goldschmidt package.
Well, that was what I was going to say. That
different situations. So Paul Goldschmidt, like, he hit 33 homers last year. His OPS, again, was well over 900.
And Luke Weaver is not a slam dunk, you know, starting rotation, number 1, 2, 3 guy. He might be a bullpen arm.
It seems like the days of getting, you know, like the White Sox deal, where you get, like, two top prospects are gone for the most part. It also seems like the days of getting, like, a young guy who's, like, guaranteed, a guy who's already proven that he can hit 20 homers, or a guy who's already won 15 games and had a 2.8 ERA. Like, I think those days are gone a little bit, too.
For one-year guys.
Yes,
I think if you had a Chris Sale with 3 years of control or 2 more years of control, then you can still get that. But, yeah, I agree, because we saw it last year with Andrew McCutchen, right? Face of the franchise. You know, was down. His numbers were down, but still had a really good second half in 2017. Giants gave up Reynolds, not one of their top prospects.
No.
Kyle Crick, a guy that you're hoping can stick as a reliever, wasn't like they had to give up their top guy. And so you're just kind of seeing that. You're right. Even for a guy like Paul Goldschmidt, Cardinals didn't have to give up their top guys. You know, Jack Flaherty's not going over to the Diamondbacks for 1 year Paul Goldschmidt.
What it does, I think, and this is why the Farhan hire is more important, is that you really have to evaluate well. And you really have to, like, find guys that – and you've heard that a little bit from DePoto the last couple of weeks, where they go, hey, we like some of these guys better than maybe the industry does. And some reports yesterday that maybe Arizona sees things in what they got back in that package that other people don't necessarily see. So you better hope that you have a good front office in place and that you're evaluating correctly, because you're going to have to find a guy who's, you know, maybe a number 4 looking starter somewhere else, and you turn him into a number 2 or a fourth outfielder somewhere, and you turn him into a guy who hits 20 homers.
I got one from Joe here. He said, does Will Smith have enough value to get an above-average position player in a trade? I tend to believe that Will Smith might have the most trade value of any player on the Giants team right now. I think – I don't know what his ceiling is and what you can get back, but I think if you're going to trade any one player to get the most return, it's Will Smith.
The thing about Will Smith is he can literally fit onto any team in the majors, because he's going to make around $4 million. He can be your closer if you need him to. If you go to a team like Chicago, that maybe, you know, the report today, Brandon Morrow is not going to start the season. Like, you need somebody the first couple months to be a closer. He has done that and looked very good doing that.
Yeah.
He could be your top lefty reliever if you're a contender that needs that guy ahead of your closer. You know, if you, let's say you have Craig Kimbrel and you need a lefty in front of him, he can be that guy. He can be somebody who joins a deeper bullpen and does a role in the 6th-7th inning and pitches multiple innings. So I agree with you. I think he's really interesting, because you think about it, he's the closer, but if your team has taken a step back, you don't necessarily need the closer, and somebody, I think, with a lot of value this time of year.
Taylor says, who is the Giants infield? Who in the Giants infield is most likely to be traded? Belt, Panic, Longoria mostly. And I find this interesting because there have been a couple stories here, and you've been poking around as well, that they're trying to offload some salary. Farhan, I believe, talked about it on KBR. Maybe bad contract for bad contract, change of scenery. That's interesting to me, and that could be Evan Longoria. That could be Mark Melancon, although Melancon's been dinged up. I don't know how much he'd really...
And a full no-trade clause.
Right.
Full no-trade clause.
Totally, like you wrote about last season. So Longoria may be a little more likely, but you've got to be pretty creative to figure out a way that it's worth it for you. Because if you're just paying the whole deal, you might as well keep the guy. You know, there's a line where it's just like it's just better to keep him.
I think Longoria is likely in the situation where you find a guy who's similar and maybe fills a different hole for you. And, you know, Longoria is not a bad player. Like, he had a down year, but he was very good in September. Defensively, he was very good the last couple months. I think he led the majors in defensive runs saved in September.
Wow.
Led the team in home runs, which wasn't a whole lot, but, I mean, still, he fills a hole for them. So he's interesting to me because you know, you say maybe you go find a pitcher with a similar contract. Like, is third base the bigger need for you probably right now? Belt is the guy who, when he was talking yesterday on KNBR about change of scenery, you always envision Belt as a guy who's like, get him to a better ballpark, get him somewhere where he gets a fresh start with the fan base that maybe, you know, whatever percentage of Giants fans who are still on that side of the Belt wars are not there. And so he could be interesting in that respect.
Well, that
I do think he'll have to, at some point, do it in some respect, make one of these deals, because there's too much payroll committed moving forward.
The Belt thing is interesting because I could definitely see a situation where the Yankees take Belt, and maybe if Gray was signed for another year, if he was a two-year guy, two-year control guy, not just a one-year control guy, you could see a swap there. Brandon Belt for Sonny Gray, you get Gray.
Yeah.
You know, better situation for both of them. Get Gray out of Yankee Stadium. Get Belt in Yankee Stadium. They'll both be better for it. It's just like, yeah, maybe a pitcher somewhere in a hitter's park that you trade Belt into more of a hitter friendly park, and that could work for sure.
Okay, I'm gonna go back to back rapid fire here. Laura says, do you guys wear pants in the off season? Yes, but I mean, I'm wearing Lululemon sweatpants. Well, I mean, they're fancy sweatpants, but they count as pants.
But not all the time, though. I mean, it's just like the off season's a long time. That includes sleeping and showering, and I don't wear pants for that. Yeah.
And then what was the other one? Brian Lee asked, what are your thoughts on Scott Boras saying Bryce Harper wants to play here because of the fan base? I'll say two things about this. First, I have heard from people who have talked to Harper in the past who say he really does like the city. I've written this, we've talked about this, and loves the fact that every time he comes here, and look, for the most part, every time he has come here, except for maybe last year or the year before, even the year before he came here early in the year, the place is full.
Yeah.
And he's been in playoff series here. He knows that the fans here fill the place. It's very loud. It is not always that case in Washington. I've been there quite a few times. Even though they've had a very good team, they just don't have the fan base. It's not the same. So I believe that. I also think Scott Boras is trying to get as many big market teams in on his client as he can, and the Giants will continue to be connected to Harper in some respect because it helps Boras, it helps Harper to have him out there, but I still don't think it's at all likely.
I mean, they did get rid of Hunter Strickland, so that does kind of open up a little bit of a window for Bryce Harper, and I am interested to see where both of them go because I think a lot of people think that Machado or Harper will end up in Philly, and man, that NL East is looking really strong right now. And I do wonder what you think about the fact that now the Diamondbacks have obviously signaled that 2019 is not going to be their year, trading away their best hitter in Paul Goldschmidt. You know, you still have the Dodgers in the NL West. So, you know, if you're not going to win the division, you're still competing with every other team in the National League for the wild card. So I don't know how much that really helps you. But maybe it gets you a few more wins against the Diamondbacks. So what, I mean, is that a change strategy or tweak strategy moment for the Giants when they see the Diamondbacks get rid of Paul Goldschmidt?
So, first of all, I'm going to miss Paul Goldschmidt. Mm. I know it's going to be nice for Giants pitchers and maybe Giants fans, but like, I want to see good baseball. He's one of the best hitters in the world, and so it sucks that he's out of the division. It was fun watching him 19 times a year. It was something where you go to games there and your Giants are up by two runs and you're kind of looking at the lineup card there going, is Goldschmidt coming up in the ninth? And, like, usually he was and got to the Giants a few times. So I will miss watching him as someone who just covers a lot of baseball games. But from to your point, yeah, I absolutely think neither one of us thinks the Giants are rebuilding next year.
Right.
Like, we think they're going to reallocate some resources, move the roster around, and see what they are in the first 2 or 3 months. And if you have the Padres in the division, who are going to be bad again and very young, the Diamondbacks, who are now going to be bad, they're trading all their best players or losing them in free agency. You can pile up some wins against those teams. The Giants do always play the Dodgers tough, even when they've been bad the last 2 years. And so if, you know, they've been terrible in Colorado the last 2 or 3 years, that's been a problem for them. But I do think there is a road path to hanging around that NL West race, just because two of the teams are so bad. I mean, you can't do what you did against the NL Central last year.
Right.
Because that'll hurt you. But, yeah, you can hang around, and especially the wild card race. I mean, the whole East is going to be beating up on each other. So if you are projected to be around, you know, if you think your team's like an 82-win team, you maybe think we can beat up on some bad teams in our division. Some teams in the East will get to 86, 87, and we can be right there.
That's what I've always thought. I mean, if you're a team that's already got a lot of money committed, and on paper you can be an 80-win team, then you got to go for it, and you get hot at the right time. All of a sudden you're an 88-win team, and you're in the wild card. I don't think they're gonna rebuild, right? They'll retool, move around some contracts, but boy, it's really hard. And I see some questions that are like, "What do you think the first move will be, or what are some guys they're targeting?" I still have no idea, and I find it very difficult with Farhan Zaidi, is that he is so creative. And he is so out of the box with his moves, or at least he has been in the past, that their first acquisition could be a shortstop. And you're like, how does that work? You know, it's like, oh, we plan to move him around the diamond, center field, left field. You go, well, he's never played out there. Be like, well, we think he can. It's like, that makes it very difficult to peg what they're going to do, because I feel like last year we knew, right? They have a third base opening. Well, how many guys are out there they could get? Evan Longoria's name came up. They need an outfielder. Well, Andrew McCutchen's name came up. It made a whole lot of sense.
Two years ago, they need a closer. It's going to be Mark Melanson.
Right.
It's going to be Mark Melanson.
So it's like guessing what they're going to do is almost impossible, because I don't even think they know at this point. They're waiting for shoes to drop and roster spots to open and teams to feel the roster crunch when they sign free agents, and then they'll pounce.
Yeah, I think it could be a three-way trade all of a sudden. You go, what happened here? And it's something that's been working on for 2 weeks. That is his history. Jessica Kleinschmidt said, "My coffee wasn't as hot as I wanted it to be today." Jessica, we have a microwave. I just wanted to point out that Jessica, who used to work for Cut 4, now works for us.
Her Twitter
handle is KleinschmidtJD. She's going to be doing a lot of baseball stuff for us. So
she sat down with Hunter Pence. Right?
She did. She wrote about that. So follow her, and you'll enjoy it. Baseball. There's a lot of people arguing here about Hoskins now.
Yeah, that guy, that lit a fire, right?
Somebody asked about the Rule 5 draft. When it is. It is next Thursday. The Giants have traditionally not done much there.
Yeah.
They got their reliever last year through 103. Had Tommy John. Is now a Marlin.
They traded him, right? He was a trade,
Claimed off waivers.
Okay,
Fernandez.
Right. Julian Fernandez, right. That whole thing was weird to me. It was like you
got
claim,
a lot of content out of Julian Fernandez.
You claim a guy, right? He has to be on the 25-man the whole year. But then he needs Tommy John, so I was like, oh, did they just make him have Tommy John? No, it was a legit injury. But then it's like, I think after that, he needed to be on the roster for another couple months or something
like
that.
Good for him. He got paid.
He did.
But I do think the Giants will be more active than in the past, because I think Farhan's more likely to, you know, look at what he's done with relievers, especially. I think if you look at the Dodgers, I mean, I remember they literally have guys, they come into town and you look at a guy and you're like, who is... what's his name? JT Chargois or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, who is that guy? Where'd he come from? And not saying this is a similar situation, but, I mean, they traditionally have had more of those guys where the Giants are like, these are the same six guys we had last year.
Yeah.
For the most part.
No,
and that seventh
role
will be a Pierce Johnson or somebody like that. So right. I think there's a decent chance that they make more moves in that respect and get more options for spring training.
They got flexibility to do a lot of stuff. And they could shock everyone and make a big splash. Actually, they can't. They're
speaking
not
of a splash.
That. Well, yeah.
I Love says, is 2019 going to be Bochy's swan song?
Okay.
I am curious, because he does have to do a media availability next week at the winter meetings, if he will say anything. This is the last year of his contract.
What would be your guess?
My full expectation is that this is his last year. I don't know if he will say anything before the season. I don't know if it'll be something that leaks out in August. I don't know if it's something he plays out through the whole year and says, I want to be here, and then they see how it's going. But I do think, you know, I just think at some point he's been around for a long time. They've changed a lot of his coaches. They've changed his boss. It just feels to me like it's hard to envision, because you're not going to get another one-year deal after that. You're probably getting a 2 or 3 year extension. It's hard to imagine him being signed to a deal that takes him through 3 more seasons.
See, I feel like it would have to come from the Zaidi side, the front office side. I think they'd want to go through the year and feel like the position needs a different manager, different voice to deploy some of their strategies. I don't feel like Boch will ever step away. I feel like he wants to manage, and if it's here, it's here. If it's somewhere else, it's somewhere else. But I think for him to say, you know what, this has been a great run, I'm going to go retire and go fishing, I feel like he's not doing that.
If I had to guess, and this is not based on inside information, this is just me being around the team, which I guess is a little information, but like just my guess is that they won't say anything, that he will manage out the year, see what happens, and then Farhan, I think, you know, generally people want to bring in their own guy,
right?
That's just the case everywhere. And even though I think they're going to get along, I think they're going to enjoy each other's company, they're just two baseball guys, I think they're going to have fun together. I think Farhan will want to bring in somebody eventually who can be here with him for a decade.
Yep.
And you look at what Dave Roberts just did, signing a 4-year extension. He's going to be in Los Angeles for a long time. That's the plan with Friedman. So I think he will want to do that, and I don't think Bochy is necessarily done, though. I could see him popping up. I hope he gets a shot, if he wants a shot, somewhere else, and if he's not here, because it does seem like those guys have kind of been pushed out of the game a little bit.
Totally.
And everybody now has to be like the puppet of the general manager.
Right.
And I would like, if he is not the manager here in a couple years, I hope he gets a shot for a team that has a postseason chance and just needs a new voice.
I agree. You know what it sounded like you were right there? You were a person with knowledge of the way the Giants think. You know what I mean? We're going to hear that a lot at the winter meetings. Let me ask you about the winter meeting. So you go to the winter meeting. How will it be different this year with Farhan?
Well, it's Las Vegas.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
We won't sweep. it'll be interesting. Their booth has always been – I've covered the Giants and A's in the past the same year. I think you've done the same thing where you've gone into both. And it's completely different – environments. I mean, the Giants,
like, they're sweet. You're talking about where they're
different, the way it's set up, kind of the atmosphere in the suite. And especially I feel like the last couple years with the Giants, especially last year, I felt it was a very tense situation, like
inside the
suite. Felt pressure. They showed that they felt pressure. To me, they did. I think there was a lot of guys who didn't quite know how to, I think they didn't know how to dig out of this hole, and that came across to me just sitting down with them and asking them questions, and they knew that they had to win games and couldn't really do much about it. And then you go into the A suite and Billy's sitting there with his feet up. And the first time I ever saw Farhan actually was 1 year I covered the A's and the Giants. I think this was for the Merck. I covered both, and he was in the corner of the room lying on the floor on his back with a laptop on his chest the entire time. And we're talking to Billy, and the A's beat writers are asking him questions and trying to get anything out of him. And Billy's just shutting him down. And we walk out of the room, we take the elevator down to the lobby, and Ken Rosenthal tweets that they made a trade. And I don't remember who it was, but Farhan was literally in the corner, like, finalizing a deal as we were talking to Billy. And I think David Force probably, too. And so it's relaxed, but they're in the corner on their laptop making a deal.
They're working.
Like, it was just, so it was... That was the first time I saw him. That was back when he worked with them. I think it'll be a different atmosphere, more relaxed. And I also think they're going to, you know, the Giants traditionally, like you mentioned earlier, you have an idea of what they're going to do. Like, right. I remember when they signed Melanson, somebody who's pretty high up in the organization literally came up to me that they signed him Monday morning. And on Monday night, I saw him after dinner, and he goes, "You honestly might as well fly home."
Yeah,
like,
we're
I'm
done.
I'm not going to, because I'm going to sit here and eat for 3 days.
Yeah.
But he was like, "You might as well fly home. This was our off season. We're doing nothing else. We'll introduce them on Friday at AT&T Park." This won't be like that, I don't think. You know, somebody asked me today why I have to stay through the Rule 5 draft, because Farhan might make a move.
Totally.
So
Yeah.
I think that'll be different in that respect.
It's interesting to hear you say it was tense last year, because when I was in the suite a few years ago, I haven't gone the last couple of years, I was in the suite with Evans and Brian Sabian. It was the year that John Lester, they did not get the rose
they
from
did
John
not,
Lester.
Yes.
But I had my iPad up there, and I had a keyboard on my iPad, and I was taking notes while the whole thing was going on. And I remember Brian Sabian not liking the typing. He did not like me typing that in there. It was a loud keyboard, so I'll give him that. But he did not like the typing.
They've always been a bit more serious. And yeah. I think anybody who, and Bobby had a good sense of humor, and certainly would drop jokes on us, like the "we did not get a rose," which surprised us, I think. But I do think it's going to be more relaxed a little bit with Farhan, and we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you get something to cover and talk about, because
it's been slow.
Even though it's been fast in Major League Baseball, I think there's been moves like every day. It's been a little slow for the Giants.
Big Zer says, "Is it just me, or does it feel like forever this offseason to figure out what changes are going to be made to the roster? I felt like the season ended 5 months ago." again, two things for me about this, and it's two very. First of all, Farhan came in and had to learn an entire new organization, which may not sound like a big deal, but like. You're making a decision on Hunter Strickland, having seen him from far.
Yeah.
He had to talk to people in the organization, talk to coaches, talk to scouts. These decisions, I mean, he's learning everything. He's trying to move his family up here, I think. He said the other day that he's still going back and forth between L.A. and San Francisco.
Yeah, he's been on the job for what, 4 weeks maybe at most?
So there's a lot going on, I think, that's in that respect. But for me, I mean, Buster only tweeted this morning, and it's something you and I have talked about a lot, even going back to the season, about how much success you can have by waiting these guys out, and how nobody's... Look, all the trades we've seen, that just means that these free agents are losing homes.
Yeah.
And maybe Dallas Keuchel still finds a home, and maybe J.A. Happ still finds a home, but maybe that dries up a spot for a Derek Holland type. Somebody, and we'll see the same thing with the outfield market. If trades are being made to fill holes... we saw it yesterday. I mean, the Cardinals were a team that potentially were in on a Harper or a first baseman. They got Goldschmidt. They traded for him. So I think we're going to see that. There's going to be a lot more free agents available in January and February, and it does sound like the Giants are at least more likely than in the past to let this go through Christmas, which I know is tough for fans, but ultimately I think you find much better bargains after the holidays.
Well, and I'm sure some of the work that Farhan did in L.A., is looking at the offseason, looking at the supply of players that will be out there. And so he already knew that. And perhaps the reason why the Giants have 34 players on their 40-man roster right now is he's already done his work and knows, there's going to be quality players out there that we're going to be able to add to our 40-man. Might as well open up spots right now. Whether it be free agents that are sitting out there in February or teams that have 40 guys on their 40-man, pick up one of those free agents, and then they got a little bit of a roster crunch themselves, and now you can go call them up and see if you can take one or two of their guys away to free up their roster flexibility. So it's why it's so difficult to figure out what they're going to do, because there are so many things they can do, and they're just looking to acquire talent.
Yeah.
They want talent. They don't care what position. They just want good baseball players. And so if that is your barometer, then the world's your oyster. You can look anywhere for that.
I know it's hard, just be patient, just enjoy all the rumors, enjoy. I'm sure some things will happen in the next couple of weeks, but
we would like to talk about players they've got.
Players,
that would be fun. It'd be like
it's
fun
tough for us too, but this 40-man roster is going to look much different on February 12th. It's going to look much different, I think, even on March 30th or whatever. Remember last year, Tony Watson walked in the door like 3 days into spring training, ended up being one of their better players. Derek Holland, I think, signed at the end of January.
Yeah.
Ended up being one of their most valuable players. So things can happen late, and I expect things to happen late. We will finish with this. Jimmy G, not that Jimmy G, says, "What's the plan with Panic? Just hope his swing is better this year, and then what?" I don't know if it's a swing issue. I think he did. To me, there was some bad luck last year for him in terms of results.
There was a little bad luck. Baseball Prospectus came out with that new DRC Plus.
This,
my gosh. I really haven't been able to dive deep into it because we got a few things going on right now. But when I do, look out, because I'm going to be tweeting a lot about it. But that indicated that, yeah, Joe Panik was a little bit better than we thought and had ran into some bad luck. He did have the injury last year with a thumb. You don't know how much that affected him. So there are reasons to be optimistic that he can come back and bounce back, at least maybe not to a all-star level, but to a 280 hitter who plays pretty good defense.
Yeah, I think there are reasons to be optimistic, and I think this was a, you know, they're taking a shot on that and saying, look, this is, he still is like top of the game in terms of not striking out.
Yeah.
And so he has a skill that is elite, and I think he needs to find better ways around that, and maybe I've always thought maybe he needs to be more aggressive at times. We have seen him in some of his bigger career moments be more aggressive, ambush guys a little bit. Last year, Jansen. Look, even go back to his postseason home run against the Cardinals. So I think maybe more of that would help, and maybe they'll make him more aggressive next season. But still, has an elite skill in terms of bat-to-ball skills and not striking out. And defensively, to me, wasn't the same guy last year, but he's still young and still young enough that he can bounce back there as well. So
it's a big year. It's a make-or-break year for him. I mean, it really is. Like, if he has another year like he had last year, it's getting close to the end. But and he knows that, and so hopefully he can put in some good work this offseason.
But right now they're stockpiling inventory, and he is inventory. He's still cheap, $3.85 million. So even if it, you know, 2 months into the season, he's not your starting second baseman, then it's not a huge deal. You're not paying him $15 million. So that is what I think is going to happen with him. I am headed to Las Vegas.
Yeah, have fun.
To cry over my fantasy team and then eventually cover some baseball. Hopefully some things happen.
Are you a gambler? Will you
not
gamble?
Really, no. Okay. I might now to make up for my losses this week. But no, I'm not really. Okay. But we'll see. It'll be interesting from that respect too. Like the winter meetings, you're always just around like a lobby in Nashville or a lobby in outside Washington D.C. one year at a random hotel. Everybody's just hanging out in the lobby.
Where is it at? What hotel?
Mandalay Bay.
Okay, wow.
Which one? Like you're putting people in a place where like you can go to the wave pool. You can go play slots. You can go to the sports book. Two, there's 50 other casinos there with cool things to do. So I'm curious like how that changes the vibe and like if agents and executives are better at hiding. I think they will be.
Oh, that's
but
true.
That'll change things a little bit. But we still have access every single day. We will talk to Bruce Bochy. We'll talk to Farhan. We will do things specifically for our My Teams app. If you haven't downloaded that, you can find the link on my Twitter and on my Instagram. Those are Pavlovich NBCS. We will have things specifically for Instagram as well. So follow there. Maybe it'll just be me gambling. We'll see. Who knows? Maybe I'll just be at the buffet.
But yeah, you haven't been a gambler, but this trip will create a gambler.
We'll see how I look next Thursday when I get back. That's a long time to be in Vegas. Thank you guys for downloading, and we'll do this when I get back.
Have
fun.
Have fun, yeah. Alex.
Thank you.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.